Lesson number 11, the Gospel for the End Time. We are studying Revelation 14. This is a wonderfully powerful Seventh-day Adventist chapter. The first five verses deal with the 144,000. They have the Father's name, they have Christ's name on their foreheads, in their minds. They are impressed with the name of the Father and the Son. When we studied John 17, Jesus says, I have manifest thy name, I have shown thy glory. The name and the glory were shown to Moses. Name, glory represent character. The 144,000 are impressed, molded with the Father and the Son's name. They have their address clearly marked on them, the New Jerusalem. That's their destination. And these people stand on Mount Zion. They have reached their destination. They got the right name. They got the right address. They have made it. Now, what kind of people were these? Verse 3. They sing a new song. That new song is mentioned several times in the Psalms, and it's defined in Revelation 5. The old song, angels can sing. That's Revelation 4. And the last verse or two. It's a song that glorifies the Creator. The new song glorifies the Redeemer. Only the redeemed can sing the new song. This is not a song that hasn't been sung before, but this is a song that only those who were redeemed from among men and have been washed by the blood of Christ can sing. No one else can learn that song but those that have been redeemed. Now the 144,000 are described in Revelation 7. They are selected, 12 from each of the 12 tribes. The 12 tribes are a cross-section of humanity. If we analyze each of those 12 personalities that constitute the 12 tribes, every man, woman, and child can be fitted into one or the other. And Revelation 7 and Revelation 14 declare that the power of God's grace and the cleansing efficacy of Christ's blood can take from the whole spectrum of humanity a perfect number of perfect people who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Now these names of the 12 tribes are inscribed upon the 12 gates of the city of God, of Zion, of the New Jerusalem. And if we are among the 144,000, march toward Zion, we will find a gate marked with that category, personality, group that each tribe represented. Perfect number of perfect people, redeemed by the blood of Christ, who have followed the Lamb wherever he goes, who can sing the new song that no one else can learn. They were not defiled with women. That is, they have not been influenced by false churches. They are virgins, because they profess a pure religion and have a total allegiance to Christ the bridegroom. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were redeemed from among men. They are the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. In their mouth is found no guile. They are without fault before the throne of God. So this wonderful chapter opens with a description of the redeemed. The 144,000 are the first fruits that represent the entire harvest. Part number 2 deals with the first angel's message. started in 1844 when the hour of his judgment came on the 2300th Yom Kippur. The first angel preaches the everlasting gospel. The word everlasting, Olam and Aeon, mean enduring from age to age to age, from epoch to epoch. Gospel was preached to Abraham, it was preached to Noah, it was preached to Israel, it was preached by Christ and the apostles, it's being preached today. It's a message of salvation through Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the gospel must be preached with a special emphasis. In the days of Noah, get ready for the flood. In the days of John the Baptist and Christ, accept the Lord Jesus Christ. In the days of 1844 and beyond, the hour of his judgment is come. Paul said, God hath appointed a day in which he will judge. That day has come in 1844. It's got to be preached in the context of evolution, because we've got to worship him that made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. We've got to worship the Creator in a day when science is blurring all thought that there was a Creator. Judgment hour, anti-evolution, gospel still the same, power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, and full of worship. This worship is important. If you read in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, previous chapter, and mark every time you read the worship, the word worship. They worshipped the dragon. They worshipped the beast. They worshipped the image to the beast. Anyone who would not worship the image to the beast should be killed. As a counterdote to that, we've got to worship the creature. False worship, true worship. False system of religion, true religion. So the first angel's message stresses the everlasting gospel in the context of the judgment hour and the worship of the Creator. Even among Seventh-day Adventists, the work of creation is being limited. It takes a long time. Things are created a long time ago. He only created life in the 6 days. The world was here. We should be very careful in our beliefs that are propounded by science, falsely so-called. The first angel's message will be followed by the second angel, who repeats his message. Babylon is fallen, is fallen. What is Babylon? Starting from the Tower of Babel, meaning confusion. We sometimes say Babel. We go through this speaking in many languages, in confused languages, through this Babel of voices, through the tower that is the false method of escaping any feared judgment that God might bring on the earth. We've got our own way for reaching up to heaven. This confused teaching of the fallen denominational churches is what Ellen White explains in Great Controversy. Everyone with his own ideas, every evangelist with his own message, forgetting the Word of God as the criterion. Babylon is going to fall. Babylon fell the first time when it rejected the first angel's message in and around 1844, when the fallen denominational churches turned against the judgment hour message. It will fall a second time when it rejects the third angel's message, which we shall consider in a moment. And the reason why it falls is because it makes all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The fornication is the unlawful union of church and state. against great controversy. It's the false principles and philosophies of trying to combine churchcraft and statecraft, of trying to bring about religious legislation through the state. And this is done through all kinds of compromise to reach a consensus. It's based on politics and not on a thus saith the word of the Lord. Now the wine of her fornication is the whole conglomerate teaching. Jesus Christ says, I've got wine. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. The wine represented the new covenant with all its agreement of writing the law in the heart and giving grace and strengthening. They have their own wine. They have their own fornication. They make all nations drink of it through their wrath. Wrath is the persecution that comes about, brought against dissenters who don't drink the wine of the churchcraft and statecraft that Babylon will bring about at the end. It includes Protestantism, Catholicism, and all kinds of other false religions that form a threefold union to enforce religious beliefs. Then it's going to fall, not going to succeed. The third angel followed, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, that's the Catholic teachings and false Protestant teachings, beast in his image, receive his mark, which is the observance of Sunday, in his forehead, intellectually, or in his hand, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, daily work, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. See, there are only two kinds of wine there. There's wine of her fornication, and the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, out of the cup of the indignation, seven last plagues, tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. They're going to be destroyed, Revelation 20. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. In the Bible, smoke is evidence. The evidence that they have been destroyed is eternal. There will always be evidence of the destruction of the wicked. Now, I think that evidence is mentioned by Zechariah. One will say, what is the wound in your hand? I have a feeling that when there is a new heaven and a new earth, and the former things are passed away, and their trace of them is not found, that the only evidence that there has been rebellion against the principles of God are found in the scars of the Son of Man, in his forehead, in his hands, in his feet, in his side. And this will be forever seen to call attention to those who have received the mark, who worship the beast in his image, and who have accepted his name. And then there's a wonderful coda to this third angel's message. Inspiration records, all the world is not caught up in this mess. Here is the patience of the saints. What is a saint? Psalm 50, verse 5. Those who have entered into covenant relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The law is written in their hearts. The new covenant is binding in their lives. They have accepted it. They are made saints. And what are their final characteristics? They keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Commandments of God are righteousness. Faith of Jesus is faith. They are righteous by faith. They have entered into the covenant of God, and they are without fault. And the rest of the chapter describes the great harvester. From the sanctuary a voice comes out, verse 15, thrust in the sickle and reap. And the harvest of the earth is reaped. The angels gather the sheaves of the good into the eternal garner of God, and the chaff into destruction. And the armies of heaven returned in glory, gather the saints to the abode of bliss for 1,000 years, and the divine purpose is carried through. As we think about this wonderful chapter, Let us pray that we may be among the saints who have entered into this joyous covenant with Christ and stand without fault before His throne.